Welcome. Glad you made it to Horizon. We are finishing out the sermon series where we've been looking at God exalted, how God is exalted in Christ and how we go on exalting God in service. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus came and he gave himself as a servant to the point there was nothing that he was unwilling to give of himself. He said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And as Jesus fully empties himself out as a servant, when he exhibits service to the fullest degree possible, that at that point and for that reason, the Father highly exalted his Son. At the point that Jesus was fully emptied out, had given his life as a ransom for all of us, that's when God said, look, this is who I am. Fully exalted in this as the icon of what it means to be a servant, this is who I am. There has never been a more profound confession of the character of God than revealed in Jesus emptying himself out as a servant. And God said, this is what you need to know about me. This is what it means to be God. My character is that of a servant. We know that God is love, but we can be so distorted in the way we think of love. We think of love as simply an emotion. A lot of times we think of love as some sort of consumptive thing, and it's not. Love without service is very self-centered. It's very self-interested. It's consumptive. It's something that is a distortion of what actual love is. To really understand God, that God is love, which we hear over and over and over again, that God is love must also mean that God is a servant. That is fundamentally his character. And God was lifted up in that. We as disciples, though, are told that we are supposed to, it is our responsibility to profess God, to make God known. It's our desire, it's our wish to follow God, to exhibit attributes and characteristics, to become more and more like him, to be his disciples or to be his students. In John chapter 13, John captures a moment that he had with Jesus, these words that he heard. He says, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And this is really important. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. The way that you love one another, the way that you serve one another, is going to be the way that you confess who I am. It's not going to be through flowery words of like, you're not going to convince people of who I am through some elegant theology or reasoning. You're going to reveal who I am. They're going to see that you are my disciples and you are going to make me known in the way that you love one another. That's going to be your confession, your evangel, your confession of who I am in the way that you love one another. So much rests as a Christian on love one another. That is the commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and to love each other ourselves. It's not simply like, oh, that's what I should do as a result of what you've done for me. That's literally what it means to follow after God, to be a person who is of God's own heart, to be a person who is a disciple of Christ, to be a person who is coming to more and more exemplify the attributes of what it means to be human as found in Christ. So, and as we do that, he says, this is how you'll know that you're my disciples. You will be lifting me up. You will be exalting me. You will be making my glory known as you serve one another. That's how they will know that you're my disciples. I will be that one that people will look to. They will see me as the one who is discipling you because of the way that you serve one another. You'll be exalting me that way. So then everything comes down to, it seems, so much of what it means to come down to is like how to serve one another. Are you serving one another? That's like a base load. A lot of times we think like, no, our responsibility is to go out into the world and do good things in the world. Okay, absolutely. But the goal isn't that we simply go out there and do nice things and then come back here to ourselves. The goal is that everyone gets to experience what it's like to be in a community of faith where people are living like human beings who are following God. It isn't just that we want to go out there and do nice things and leave them out there. We want to create an environment that people go, gosh, I want to be a part of it. I want to know what it's like to live in a world where people serve one another. I want to be a part of that, which means our first job isn't to go out there and to serve them. Our first goal is to create an environment that is so desirable that they want to be a part of a community of service. That is, if that's not happening, then what are we even doing out there? What are we offering them if that's not who we are to each other? So then, service is what it's about. How are we serving one another? Now, I want to say this. I would say that in our culture, man, it's so hard. Like, you look in the Bible, and there's examples in the Bible about, like, you know, feeding each other or, you know, doing, you know, sharing food. I'll be honest with you. I don't need food from you. Like, you know, like, I don't wake up every day and wonder how I'm going to survive today. If I do know people that are in that spot, they haven't told me about it. You know, maybe I'm not paying enough attention, but people aren't poor like they were poor then. And so how do I serve you? How do I serve you? It's really interesting. The Bible has over 50 occurrences of this kind of phrase, and it's used twice here in this passage, and it says, I'll read this again from John chapter 13, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. That little phrase, one another, shows up like 50 times. Do this for one another. Do that for one another. When you're interacting with each other, do this with one another. Act like this so that you'll have some benefit when you are with one another. There's like the phrase one another shows up like constantly throughout the New Testament. As the church is being described, it's like you're one anothering each other constantly. And when you look at what that one another is about, it is a departure from some sort of isolationism where you're putting yourself first. It is literally loving one another. All those different words. It's putting that other person before yourself. And if I were to say, I think sometimes I make the mistake of thinking that serving one another is a matter of identifying some lacking resource on your part, and I resource you with that thing. Sometimes that's true, and some of these will discuss that, but I bet we are a lot more similar to the way they were in the first century than we think. We look back there and we think, oh, they were poor. We're not poor, so that's a big difference. I don't know how to serve. They didn't see themselves and say, oh, we're poor. I need stuff. They were people who needed the broad range of what it meant to be human in their culture too. And when we read through these things, it's interesting. He's going to be, it'll be like Peter, Jesus, Paul, John. Several of them will be talking about these things to do for one another. And in each of these different cities, and each of these different environments, and each of these different cultures, there's that similar need to step outside of your self-centeredness and to constantly be thinking everything that I'm doing is with other people in mind. If I were to broadly categorize these things, like when I looked at those 50 things, I would say there was a strong emphasis on showing grace to one another. Several of them had a lot to do with grace. Several of them had to do with like being able to speak the word, to give God's grace, to show God's mercy, to be able to confess God's words, to be able to say words of God to one another, to have a mind of Christ with each other in mind. It was like in each of these things, the way I thought about them was, it's your obligation to embody this thing about me, either these words that I've said, the mercy that I've shown, the grace that you've experienced, to embody those things, and that when you're with those other people, your act of service is to be me with them. as I'm going through this list, I'm just going to read through it slowly. Remembering that culture is drastically different here than ours, but thinking about how, for me, how easy it was to think, I have absolutely been in a position where I needed that sort of humility from somebody else. I needed that grace from someone else. And he was talking to people 2,000 years ago that needed the exact same thing. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count one another more significant than yourselves. This is your act of service. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. This is your act of service. Romans 12. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty. Associate with the lowly. This is your act of service. Welcome one another as Christ welcomes you. This is your act of service. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is your act of service to one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. This is an act of service to one another. Exhort one another every day, waking up and telling them you've got this. This is your act of service to one another. Always seek to do good to one another. This is an act of service. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as an act of service. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, leaving nothing on the table. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in your heart. Listen to the beauty of that. You, when you're on your own, reading the Bible, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. This is an act of service. That was just a sampling. There's so many more, but you can kind of get the general vibe, the feel, the sense of the act of service that we're describing, that all these different New Testament writers are describing. These aren't like, it isn't your obligation to be smart enough to figure out some cool thing to do that other people will say, wow, thank you so much. A lot of this stuff, they won't even know that you've even served them. It's unlikely that most people that you serve this way will think, wow, you really took care of me. I appreciate that. But if you are taking on the mind of Christ, if you have the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the humility of Christ, if you learn and embody the words of Christ around and with each other, these are your acts of service. We lift up Christ. We exalt him. We give glory to his name in our acts of service to one another. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you give us a rich and abiding desire to become more and more like you, Lord, not so that we can be lifted up and be made great, Lord, but we recognize that we are serving a servant God. God, you didn't ask to make yourself the center of all attention. You instead made yourself a servant to the entire world. And God, we follow you. We follow the servant God into service. And in that way, we lift you up. We love you, Lord. Amen. Periodically, we have communion. We take time. Communion is a symbol of something that's gone on for... It predated Christianity, but Christians have really taken this idea of table fellowship, this meal together. And in that, we've seen the sacrifice of Christ specifically in this table fellowship, coming together around receiving this meal, not just as a meal together, but as an embodiment of Christ himself, his blood, receiving his blood, receiving his body into ourselves. This is a reverent and holy act. At Horizon, if anyone here has committed their life to Christ, said, I am a Christian, I have set out to follow Christ, we invite you to share this communion meal with us, to receive Christ alongside of us. Before we take communion, I want to read this passage that describes what that first communion meal was with Jesus with his disciples. This is from Matthew 26. As they are in the upper room just before Jesus is going to be crucified, it says, "Now when they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom.'" The sacrifice and the hope that we find in our table meal together. I want you to take a few minutes. We're going to have the verses kind of like showing up on the slide. You can meditate on those as you like. I want you to think about what it means to follow the God of service into a life of service. When you are joyful to participate in the body of Christ that way, when you are prepared to receive Christ, you can come down front and you can take the bread, take the juice, come back to your seat. You can eat it slowly while the verses are up on the screen, and you can just keep meditating on these passages together. No rush, and don't feel like you have to do it. Nobody's going to think anything of you one way or the other.